Welcome to the Behind the Headlines Radio Roundtable. I'm Eric Barnes, publisher of the Memphis Daily News, joined this week by Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam.
So let's start with the news of the week as far as Memphis. You were in Memphis this past week, Conduit Global, mm-hmm. a big call center, moving in. They're hiring 300 people initially, maybe as many as 1,000. How did that deal come together? And then we can talk generally about economic development from there.
Yeah, for actually, I think they're going to hire 300 right out the chute, and I think they will get to 1,000 with the potential to get even more. In this case, the president of the company had been in Memphis prior to this, had a great experience. So when they started looking around, Memphis showed up on their radar quick. We were able to follow through on that, working with the local chamber and City of Memphis and Shelby County to put something together really in a couple of 3 months, which is unusual. Encouraging to me, when we were talking before the announcement, the president said, to be honest with you, it wasn't close. Memphis blew away the others, and we love it. We love it when that happens. So this wasn't one we had to fight for 2 years on and stiff arm out some other people.
Right.
He was really impressed with Memphis and its potential.
You were in Memphis, a couple weeks ago at the Electrolux, the more kind of grand, the ceremonial opening, but they're starting to make things. I mean, that was another big win early, I think, in your administration, carried over a little bit maybe from the past administration.
That's right.
Mitsubishi. But there's been a lot of talk about the incentives that go with that, the local pilot programs, maybe the state incentives that, you know, why, you get critics who say, why do we need to do that? Why can't the businesses just come? These are big tax giveaways. What is your take on how the proper role for the state, but also for the city? And you were a mayor before this in this game from that point of view.
Sure. So a couple of comments. I would love as the state not to give incentives, but the unfortunate reality, if we did that, I would rarely be around anywhere for many job announcements. It's a competitive nature of the world we live in, and there's 49 other governors out there trying to do everything they can to create jobs in their states, and however many mayors, et cetera. So number one, it's a competitive world. The second, I think the way you look at that, though, is what's the return on investment? As a former business guy, I always say, I'm going to treat this money like it's for what it is. It's the taxpayers' money, 6.5 million Tennesseans. So my job is to get a great return on that investment for their money. So we look at everything from number of jobs to the quality of those jobs in terms of how high paying they are. We look at the capital investment that company's making and decide for all that, what's the right incentive package for us to put together.
You mentioned 49 other governors, and there's a lot of comparison sometimes between Memphis and Nashville. Nashville doesn't do a lot of pilots. Memphis does. The supporters of pilots, I don't think anyone likes them, but the supporters in Memphis will always say, well, Nashville's not right next. It's not next to Mississippi. It's not next to Arkansas. In Mississippi, a company can go there, get a lot of incentives, but still rely on the Memphis airport, the Grizzlies, all the kind of these things that attract companies. Your perspective on that, and you must have had that in Knoxville. I mean, you're competing a little bit more across borders, but Nashville, they're not competing across border quite as much.
Yeah, so I think that the saying, if you've seen one city, you've seen one city, applies in this case, because every city's competitive situation is different. Every city's current economic situation is different. Even as the state, we work really hard to push deals where we can, certain places, because unemployment is a more difficult challenge some places than others. So again, to compare one city's efforts to another really isn't fair. In Memphis' case, it's fair. You can move 5 miles from the airport, and be in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And so Mississippi has learned that as well. They know what we know, that having Memphis airport right there is a huge competitive advantage. FedEx has meant a lot of jobs for a lot of people besides the people that work at FedEx.
Yeah.
So the folks in Mississippi aren't ignorant of that fact, and they've worked really hard to recruit people. Hey, just move 5 miles. In the old days, we would have said, well, it's not that big a deal. Their headquarters is there. Most of the people still live where they used to. But I think there are some ramifications on everything from the business taxes that those business pay, where that goes, to where the employment growth happens to occur.
Yeah. We talk about pilots. You mentioned taxes and so on. In the spring, the controller, state controller, raised some red flags about the city of Memphis, its financial health, much of it around, some around the pilots and an over-reliance maybe, but really around pensions and underfunded pension plans. What is your take? Is Memphis on a kind of crash course to a really dangerous place in terms of its financial health?
Well, start with this. Memphis is not alone in terms of governments that have pension plans that are underfunded. And there's the state of Tennessee happens to be in a pretty good position, but there's a lot of states that are in that a very
Illinois, for one.
They've got a major issue there. A lot of other states do as well. And cities all across the country do. So Memphis is not alone in the situation. And there's a tendency to say, well, how did current leadership get us in this position? Well, the reality is, The pension arrangements were set a long time ago, and they were funded at ways that cities can't sustain over a long period of time with the returns that can realistically be expected in the market off of that. But what cities and states have done, they've guaranteed pension payments to employees. Well, most businesses and everywhere else long ago quit having defined benefit plans and went to defined contribution plans.
Right, where a certain amount goes in and it's
exactly.
really up to how it's invested.
To the market.
So it's a manageable, knowable, budgetable number for
right.
the state switched to that, right, a couple of years ago
state,
for state employees.
Right, exactly.
So how did that go over with employees?
Well, I mean, I think obviously if you're an employee, you want to have, give me a guaranteed number,
right.
Particularly
sure.
a high guaranteed number. I'd love to have that. But the reality is, and so there's a lot of sense of, well, it's you know, that's fair to the employee. But what you have to remember is, when those situations go in and get and are addressed, there's a tendency, like I said, to blame the current political leadership.
Right.
Why are you changing the deal? Well, maybe the people that should be blamed are the people that set up unsustainable plans to begin
right.
with, you know,
right.
years ago.
That's all the time we have this week. Join us again next week.